The Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab, number 40 for February 20th, 2006. Greetings, folks, and welcome to the 40th episode of the Mac Observer's Mac Geek Gab. I'm Dave Hamilton, and of course, I'm here with John Braun.
Hi.
How are you?
Fantastic.
Are you really?
Yes, I am. I had the day off, so that's nice.
Oh, that's good. I took the day
various
off.
Various presidents.
That's right. That's right.
Well, pretty much every day is a day off for you, right?
Hey, that's not nice. So we had,
I know, that's far from the truth.
We had 34 hours without power, you know, here at the TMO Towers East. It was cold. Yeah, it went out about noon on Friday and didn't come back until like 10 p.m. Saturday night rather. And it was getting close to frozen heat pipe land in our bedroom. It was 36 degrees on an interior wall when the heat finally came back on. So
it's your own fault.
What's that?
It's your own fault.
My own fault? I didn't knock the trees down.
Yeah, you moved to New Hampshire.
Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, once you get past Massachusetts, man, I mean, you're talking wilderness and, you know, polar bears.
Actually, we do have a bear here in Durham, and I've been told that people have seen it walking through our yard. So tonight's show, we have a whole lot of stuff to go through. We were going to do a solely listener feedback show, but so much stuff happened this week that we're going to have to do about half and half. So
we got a blizzard of stuff.
We have a blizzard of stuff to talk about. So we've got we do have some listener feedback to go through, and we've got some various stories to tell about some things that happened this week. And I think John and I will probably wind up in a mutual rant about something here later. So
gather around the computer.
That's right. And we've brought back the wish list. Some of you have asked about it. We've brought back the wish list. So we'll talk about that and go through it toward the end of the show. First, though, we need to talk about the folks who are sponsoring this show. And first up is the Think Different Store. The Think Different Store at thinkdifferentstore.com sells all types of stuff for your iPod, all kinds of different accessories, skins, cases, headphone adapters, car adapters, all kinds of great stuff. They've got a wish list on their website, so you can plug stuff in that people might want to get you or you might want to get for yourself. Their shipping is cheap, and they get the stuff right out the door. I have actually purchased from them in the past. My wife actually just bought something from them a couple weeks ago, before we even knew they were sponsoring the show. And the stuff gets right out. So they know what they're doing, and they have something special for all of you. If you buy something from thinkdifferentstore.com, use the coupon code MACGEEK and get $5 off your purchase. So thinkdifferentstore.com.
They won't, you know, record that fact beyond that you're a Mac geek. You can admit it.
That's right.
This one time.
It's good to admit it this time. They make it worth your while. And
who else?
We are co-sponsored by Audio Engine, the makers of fine speakers. These folks have just released the Audio Engine 5 desktop speakers. Fantastic things. They're these kind of white, almost cubes. They've got low-end driver and a high-end driver in them, and they sound fantastic. One of the coolest parts about them is that they're built not only to be used connected directly to your computer, of course, but they have a couple of different ways that you can use them all by themselves. You can plug your iPod into them, not only to get sound out of your iPod and through the speakers, but it's got a USB jack on the top of the left speaker that you can plug into your iPod to charge it. Now, that's the only thing the USB jack is good for, but they've tested it with the iPod and it works. You can plug your iPod in, charge it right then and there. Or, and I think you tried this week, John, you can use it with an Airport Express, right?
Yes. Plugged it in. And here's the interesting thing. You would ask yourself, well, if I have an iPod plugged into the port on the top, so there's an audio in on the top and one on the back, and you have, of course, so I have the Airport Express going into the audio in on the back, and then there's one on the top for an iPod, what would you expect would happen?
Well, yeah, they both would work. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. So it didn't cut out one over the other. I was able to hear both channels. So that's kind of cool. So anyway, I tried both channels. plugged it in on the back there. It's a really neat solution if you just want to cart it around and, you know, stream your audio through iTunes.
And they do expect to sell out often. However, they will tell you on the website when your order will ship. So when you order it, they will tell you when they expect to ship your order. And they're more accurate, from what I understand, than Apple. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, too. Because my MacBook Pro shipped, but not without a hiccup. So that's Audio Engine at AudioEngineUSA.com. Mm-hmm.
They go to a lemon. They do. I tried.
Good. That's good. All right. Well, let's start with some listener feedback, right? And see where we get. So the first one is about iPhoto from Carl Brandvold.
And just got a couple quick questions for you. First off, I use an iMac G4, and my first question is with iPhoto. Now, when I'm going through the library looking at pictures, if there's a picture that I don't want and I delete it, it's not actually deleted. I mean, it's deleted from where the area I'm looking at, the visual library, but it doesn't delete the actual file. It's still out there in hard drive land. So I'm wondering, is there a way I can make it towards a one-step process, kind of like with iTunes? If I want to get rid of a song, you know, I go to my library and then I click it and it says, you want to send it to trash? And you're like, sure, why not? Is there a way I can do that with iPhoto so I don't have to go through two steps to get rid of one picture?
John, you want to, you want to?
I don't think I heard this one. This may have been a Skype one, so.
No, actually, I'm pretty sure this came in via, maybe it came in via email to me. So, anyway, the interesting thing here is, of course, that what you described for taking something from iTunes and throwing it away is also a two-step process. You're putting it in your system trash, which you then have to go and empty to actually get rid of the file. And the same is true of iPhoto, except that iPhoto actually has its own trash. And a lot of people don't know this. I didn't know it for a long time, that iPhoto, when you delete something, like Carl says, it doesn't go away right away. It does go to the trash. Now, you go to the iPhoto's file menu and choose empty trash, and that's where you get rid of it. But it is a two-step process, like anything else is. And frankly, I think that's done for your safety and mine, mm-hmm. of course. So... no, I don't think there's a way of doing it individually. However, we've been wrong before about iPhoto.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring that up.
You've been wrong.
Yeah. Flint asked us whether iPhoto could print greeting cards, and both John and I stood right up and said, oh, no. Can't be done.
I think we thought that the intent was they wanted to make a business out of printing them.
Right.
Why would they put a an option in for you to do it yourself, since you probably don't have two-sided card stock, though you may. Who
and
knows?
We learn never to let business thought get in the way of geek speak, because mm-hmm. it can be done. And in fact, we had quite a few of you. I know Iggy and Michael yes. actually both sent us cards that they had created and then printed to PDF. So that was
the point right home.
That Thank was a nice way, a subtle way of showing us. In fact, I think one of them, I can't remember which one, actually wrote it in the card. Look what you guys missed. So thank you for pointing that out.
And they even had an update. And I thought one of the updates, I think it was a 0.01 update.
Yeah.
For all the apps, the new iLife suite. And I thought, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to fix it. But they haven't yet. So
no, I think it'll stay. Yeah.
But the calendars, I don't believe that has print disabled. So for whatever reason, they're letting you do cards, but not calendars. Go figure.
Interesting. Is that yes. correct? I had not experimented with that.
Last time I checked calendars didn't seem to offer the same flexibility. Which
really?
A calendar may be something that most people do not have the facility to put together on their own.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
We'll see. But last time I looked and I was trying to pay attention. So anyways, moving on.
Where do we move to? Did you move?
Not this week.
I thought about it with all that power up. Man, it was cold here. Whew.
I'm telling you. Maybe you got some, do you have like wood stove or a generator? Well, you got a generator, right?
No,
generator
we don't. It was actually interesting. We'll veer off topic here. Oh. We have two fireplaces in the house. And so we had both of those pretty much going round the clock. But,
wood? And you got like free wood?
Oh, I have wood that I purchased at the beginning of the winter. And I had some on the property that I split up this fall. But that was enough to keep the house, you know, fairly warm. The top floor of the house where there is no fireplace got cold, like I said. But what I was really worried about was the office here, because there is no fireplace over here in the office. And so it got extremely cold over here. Thankfully, there's antifreeze in the heat pipes, so that kept us out of the woods, so to speak. But it sure got cold here. And it was funny, because a week ago today, I actually left a voicemail for my electrician asking him his opinion on generators. And apparently I was about a month too late with that. So, yeah, that's just how it goes.
I also have, yeah, I had, yeah, because the power goes out here too, a portable kerosene heater is probably not a bad idea, though. Make sure you ventilate if you get one of those, please, right. So you don't die from carbon monoxide poisoning. That's,
yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got to get something here. We need to do something, but we'll figure it out. So we will move on to Tim Vandersteel had an interesting question. So we'll move on to that.
Good old Tim, yes.
Hi John, hi Dave. I'm Tim from Belgium and I have a question for you guys. When I'm using my PowerBook at home, I sometimes just sit at my desk and it stands there sometimes the whole day on. My PowerBook's battery doesn't last the whole day, so I have to use the power short. But I've heard mentioning that having my laptop connected isn't good when my battery is fully loaded. So sometimes they suggest getting the battery out of my PowerBook. Now I'm asking you guys, what's your opinion about this the subject, and what you would do? Surely the Apple designers didn't have that in mind when they designed the MagSafe connector. Okay, thank you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Tim. So, your opinion on this, John?
That's crazy.
Being a laptop owner.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, what's crazy? No, I would say you're okay with leaving it plugged in, my personal opinion. You're okay with it being plugged in because, especially when the battery gets at the top of its limit, it'll go from a charge mode to a trickle mode, so you're not blasting the battery. So I think you're okay as long as the big thing, though, is if you do a lot of cycling. So I've seen actually, I actually have a coworker who does a lot of charge discharge. So I don't think, so leaving it plugged in, which I think was the question, I don't see a problem with that because the computer can accommodate it, but it's more cycling between fully charged and uncharged that could shorten your life. So that's kind of what I have to say on that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't recommend like changing what you do at all, because as far as I can tell, what you're doing is as it was designed to be. You know, don't take the battery. Oh, no.
No, don't take the battery out. I wouldn't do that. And I think you're right, John. You don't want to, or you want to avoid cycling too much. However, my experience, even on the newer PowerBooks, which of course have intelligent batteries in that, like you said, they won't overcharge or undercharge or anything like that. My experience is that if you are someone who uses your PowerBook at your desk a lot, you want to power cycle the thing once or twice a month at least. If your PowerBook is mostly plugged in and you're just transporting it from place to place or maybe just even leaving it on your desk most of the time, you do want to pull that power cord out at least once or twice a month and let the battery go all the way down to nothing and then charge it back up.
Okay. As you mean by a power cycle, where it comes up with that warning, which could be kind of scary, saying, hey, if you don't do anything for a couple more minutes, I'm going to shut down.
And I recommend doing that once or twice a month.
Yep, and I believe that they actually recommend that when you first get, at least in the manual for my machine, it said actually do this the first time you get the machine because there's a little chip inside the battery that reports the battery capacity to the Mac. And if you use something like X battery, which right. I'm looking at right now, it'll show you, and you'll actually, one time what I did is I did do, you know, what Apple recommended is let it go all the way down and all the way up, and it actually increased the battery capacity.
Yep.
Which
yep.
you can see with something like X battery, and it's in amp hours, I guess, is the unit to measure that. And you'll see it over time; it will go down on a certain battery. I actually, my coworker who just bought a new battery, his is down to 2 amp hours, but he does a heck of a lot. I rarely cycle my battery; usually, kind of wavers up and down.
Yeah.
He does a lot of you know stuff where he drives it down all the way, or actually has a second battery. So batteries. I'd say he's doing the right thing. Just
maybe
get a second battery. They actually have a, who was it? Newer. Actually, he got one from Newer, I believe, and they have a slightly extended capacity battery. I think it just has more cells inside of it.
I think you're right.
Yeah. More than that 4.5 amp hours. I guess it gives you like 4.8 or something like that.
But yeah, when you get a new battery, check out what the battery X or X battery, I guess, is what
X battery.
What John's talking about.
It's very nice, and it'll let you know over time. You know, it'll show you your capacity going down, so you can maybe get a new battery, or at least shows you what's happening, so you know what things you do will cause your battery to charge or discharge heavily.
Yeah, but it's good to keep an eye on your battery's theoretical maximum capacity, because like John said, that will change, which is sort of an interesting thing. And it's the electronics inside the battery that do that, or that that maintain that number. And and taking it all the way down and bringing it back up, like John said, will definitely allow the battery to realize its full capacity. Sometimes you'll see it where the Mac will say, you know, you've got 2 minutes left on the battery, and yet it'll run for another 20. And that's because the battery thought it had less than it did, or the chip in the battery thought it had less capacity than the actual cells did, and allowing it to do that once or twice a month will keep it in check with itself. So speaking of laptop batteries, like I said, my MacBook Pro shipped. But things got interesting last week.
From
Shanghai.
China.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the really neat thing. A lot of times when you see the new Apple stuff ship, is that it doesn't ship from California. It ships from usually somewhere in Asia. So so it said shipped, and you're estimated.
Well, this is there's an interesting story here, which I'll share with you. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, I ordered my MacBook, 5 to 10 minutes after the keynote ended. I raced over to the speaker's lounge and ordered it up. And for weeks, it said that it was going to ship on February 15th. Well, along came February 14th, and Apple announced that they were taking, and I'd ordered the 1.83 gigahertz model, which at the time was the fastest. Apple announced that they were speed bumping the entire line of MacBook Pros prior to them ever shipping. And I think that's a first for Apple, right? That they speed bumped the thing before it ever even existed.
The 2 or something.
Well, yeah, the low-end one is 1.83, and then the high-end, or the stock high-end one is 2, and then you can
Dave, will it ever stop?
No, it won't. It goes up to 2.16 if you want to pay an extra $300, which I didn't. So I figured, okay, I'll stay at 2. But since I ordered it, I'd been hemming and hawing. In fact, started hemming and hawing during the ordering because I had ordered it with 120 gig, 5,400 RPM drive, thinking I need the space. And ever since then, had been wondering, you know, should I have ordered the 100 gig, 7,200 RPM drive to get the faster one? And really, my gut kept telling me I should have ordered the faster drive. So when I got this note that they were, you know, speed bumping everything, I called up Apple's order system and said, okay, talk to me here.
You just confused somebody terribly.
Yeah.
Initial reaction that something's going to go wrong here, but maybe not.
That was my reaction too. And so I asked the woman, I said, okay, look, can I change this option without it changing my ship date? Because I don't, you know, I've been at the front of the line or close to the front of the line. I don't want to move to the back. And she said, if you change it today, it will not change your ship date because we have
only.
Right. Because we have to go in and change every order and upgrade you, right? So the line is being recreated and we're doing it in order. So I'll just put a note on yours that when they go through to do this, they'll bump you up. You know, they'll just make this change, but you won't lose your place in line. Yeah. I thought, okay, sure, sweet. Makes sense. Excellent. Sweet. Right. Thank goodness. Sounds good. So I did that. And I look online, and they changed my order from a 1.83 gigahertz machine to a 2.16 gigahertz machine for $300 more and left the hard drive the same.
Wow, that's that's exactly what you didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
That's not what
I wanted.
They
switched the wrong
They did it all wrong.
To be faster.
So I called them back, and I said, okay. And I explained to them.
Did you have a case number?
I did. And I called
him
back.
Remember who you spoke to, right?
I did. Yeah. And so
a tip to those folks out there.
That's right.
Write this stuff down. Yeah. It makes your life and the life of the poor person on the other end that's going to hear you rant.
Yeah. A lot easier.
So anyways, but just a little tip, because it really, if you have a number and a name, it really, really helps. Go on.
It does. No, you're right. No, and thanks for saying that. So I called up and I spoke to a different person, obviously, and explained what happened. And he went and looked in and said, oh yeah, sure enough, it says in here that you should get the, you know, change the drive. And I says, I don't know why they did it the other way. He said, but you know, you got to remember they were going through thousands and thousands of these.
Oh, hold on.
So somebody made a mistake. And I said, okay. And he said, so let me change that for you. And he
just
said,
change.
Yeah.
Drive.
Yeah. He said, well, no. He said he you know, back the processor down, because I didn't want to pay the extra $300. 15% more money for 8% more speed or whatever it works out to be. It just didn't, you know, I didn't need it. So
you're going to have enough problems.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, but during that, he said at one point, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, cancel your existing order and put in a new one. And before I could say, that doesn't sound like the right idea, he had done it.
He obliterated your.
Yes. And so we got to the end and he says, this might change your ship date a little. Now, remember, my ship date started at February 15th. Yeah. And then when they speed bumped everything, everybody's ship date got moved back to the 28th, as far as I know. Mine did. Mm-hmm. So we went from the 15th to the 28th. When I got finished with this guy on the phone, and he was very apologetic, my ship date got moved back to March 16th. And I was like, oh, dude, you're killing me.
You can't do that.
You can't do this to me. Right.
So you just lost a month because screwed up.
Because somebody hit the wrong button. So he was cool. He said,
I'd be shaking my fist in anger.
He was really
Were
apologetic.
Were you shaking your fist in anger?
Well, no, I wasn't. Because I learned a long time ago, when you're on the phone with these people, the person you're talking to on the phone is the only person in the world that can help you at that moment in time. And there's no reason.
And they're a person.
That's right. So I was really cool with him. And what he said was, you know, I feel really bad that this is how this happened. Not only are we going to comp your shipping, but we're going to give you 3% off the price.
Ooh.
Cash back, you know, right, just right off the top.
Wow.
And I said, well, okay. I mean, if I had to trade it, I wouldn't. I'd say I'll pay full price and just get the thing. But okay, cool. 3%. Well, you know, what's done is done. And I appreciate you doing that for me. So he did it. And then our power came back on at, you know, 10 o'clock Saturday night. And I actually had a gig, so I wasn't even here when the power came on.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up Sunday morning, looked on the Trio, and saw Apple ship notice. I was like, what? And sure enough, yeah. And I looked, and the specs are right. It's exactly what I wanted. The 2 gigahertz with the 7,200 RPM drive. Everything's good to go. And it's on its way to me. It's in Anchorage as of about an hour ago. So, and I got my 3% off too. So there you go.
Oh
yeah. All's well that kind of ends well. It's due
so it's
to arrive
Thursday. It's kind of a self-induced or Apple-induced trauma there, but
yeah,
they made good on it.
Yeah. So what I'm not sure of is if somehow I didn't lose my place in line, but this guy thought I did, or if somehow they're shipping all the orders that they thought would ship on March 16th. Now that's the question I don't know the answer to. I do know a couple other people that ordered right about the same time I did initially, and theirs all shipped exactly the same time that mine did. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to believe that I really didn't lose my place in line, because my order date still shows January 10th. So who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? All right. Yeah. Kent has a question for us. You ready for Kent's question?
Not really.
Okay. Well, this is interesting because you just said there was a little Skype problem and Kent has a Skype question. So we'll,
okay.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it's Kent from CouchPotatoIllustrated.com. And we have been trying to use Skype to record our podcast, Couch Potato Illustrated, many times now. And we've never been able to successfully accomplish this task. It always sounds like someone's talking through a can, or like they're being muffled, or sometimes they just, you know, they cut in and out a lot. We have pretty good bandwidth, both upstream and downstream, for everyone involved. But for the life of us, we can never make it sound as good as it does on your podcast. And I know that you guys use it. So I was wondering if you could give us some tips on how to get our Skype quality up to par. Thanks a lot. Love your show. We listen every week. And we wish you all the best. Thanks.
I'll take this one, John. Since I'm the audio and Skype recording guy, And I wasn't, at first I wasn't really sure what their problem might be, because like you said, they've got plenty of bandwidth, they've got Skype working, why doesn't it sound good? And this weekend, believe it or not, and it wound up happening Sunday again because of my extended power outage. You can believe it. It's okay to believe. You don't believe it?
I want to believe.
You want to believe.
X-Files reference.
We'll there you go.
Link in the show notes.
We will put a link in the show notes. So, but this weekend I was a guest of Ricky Spiro's on TMO's other podcast, the Mac Observer's Weekly Roundup, which if you don't listen to, you should. But Ricky and I actually talked about the podcast industry and stuff in the TMO Context Machine. And it was the first time that he was using Skype in a new way. And he had it coming into GarageBand to record. And I don't know what Kent over at Couch Potato Illustrated is using. He might be using GarageBand. He might be using Audio Hijack Pro. But the first thing that I noticed is Ricky and I had a nice little Skype chat going. And then all of a sudden, I had no... when he started recording, it sounded terrible to me. And I'm not sure what was going on. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just start the Skype call again. And we did, and no, it didn't work. And I said, wait a minute, stop recording. And he did, and everything got better. And then I remembered when I was traveling and we were doing this over Skype, and of course I was on my PowerBook, not on this dual G4 that I've got here, that I had the same issue, and it's processor speed. GarageBand eats a ton of processor. Frankly, so does Audio Hijack Pro. The problem Ricky was having on his end was that GarageBand was eating up more processor than he had available, and so Skype had to give some up, and that's what made it sound bad. My problem was with Audio Hijack Pro. I was actually telling it to record direct to MP3, so it was doing some conversion on the way down, and that's where my problem was. So on my end and on Ricky's end, we both just had it record Audio Hijack Pro to AIFF, which requires no on-the-fly conversion. That left enough processor speed in both cases. So perhaps that's your problem, Kent. Hopefully you've got some tweak that you can make there. But chances are, if you're having trouble getting it to sound good, it's a processor speed issue. Or sometimes, of course, it could just require you to restart the Skype connection, which John and I had to do here.
Just now.
That's right.
I know, it sounds great.
Thankfully, Audio Hijack Pro has a pause button for just such emergencies. So,
yeah. But yeah, that... part of it is they use some, because I've noticed this with, but they use some ports that are a lot of UDP high number ports. And I think sometimes if something weird goes on with those, Skype may sound weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
Look into it.
Yeah. It's just a well.
I was starting to look into it.
We'll start to look into it. That's right.
Yeah. So, where are we at?
I have to eat a meal of crow, and I feel it's time for me to do that. Mm-hmm. Last week, you heard me rant about the New Hampshire Seacoast Mug and their choice.
Boy, did you rant.
Of an evening for their meeting. And it, of course, when I had checked their website, which was a couple of weeks before, admittedly, it was scheduled for Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I looked the next day while I was putting together the show notes for the show and realized, oh my God, they made a change and they pushed it back this week. So they did, they did their part in reducing the fodder for the geek stigma. and so I owe them a huge apology, which I put in last week's show notes. Obviously I couldn't put it in the show.
Again.
So,
we'll link to their, website.
We'll link again. Yeah. We linked last week and I did put a little apology in the show notes. So, I did want to, humbly apologize to them for my faux pas last week. It teaches me I should check things
pas.
Because things on the internet, when they're published, can be changed as well. They should be so.
Or cached. Maybe
or
we can
cached.
See the latest, you know? I mean,
what's
caching. We'll talk about that later.
Caching.
Like caching.
Like geocaching? No. That's a different
kind
of caching.
Like that.
That's right.
Not that. So where are we at here on the list?
Really, where were we at in time? Oh, we're doing okay. We're at 30 minutes here. For those of you keeping track at home, it's 29 minutes and 30 seconds in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have more. We can.
Or what?
Let's see. Let's have a little tip. Tim McKeon sent
in. Oh, rant. Were we going to rant? Oh, I'm sorry. You had a tip.
Oh, no, 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 no. Let's talk about this. Okay, so this week, we're going to skip. Sorry, Tim.
We'll get you next week, bud.
Yeah. Well, we might get you this week. Oh.
What are we ranting about? You know what we're ranting
about? So, this week, Sophos, right, announced that there's a virus for the Mac.
Oh, I remember what we're talking about. There's a virus for the Mac. It's insecure. Abandon it. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. So, again, it's a proof of concept thing. This is, as far as my understanding on it goes.
Now, rewind here. Can we define what a virus is, please?
Go ahead.
Well, to me, I think there's a little confusion. Now, I think the word virus gets a lot of press.
It gets a lot of press, yes.
But to me, a virus is a little computer entity that kind of
self-replicates
itself, yeah, without user intervention or knowledge.
Right.
Are we okay on that part of it?
I'll sign up for that. I'll stand behind that.
Okay.
Of course, last week I stood
behind.
Something
behind the scenes does evilness on behalf of your computer without your knowledge, and you can do nothing about it. To me, that's a virus, and they're scary, and there are ways to do that on certain operating systems, including Apple.
I'm sure there's a way to do it on OS X, of course, naturally.
Yeah, but virus. Okay, so virus has, to me, a very specific meaning, and they typically are things that take down the internet because, right, better or worse, most people are running Windows, and Windows has some well-advertised, due to its popularity or not, holes which you can take advantage of. And a lot of times things will happen where the user doesn't have any say in what happens. It just
right.
happens behind the scenes. It takes over your computer. You're done. Now, some do. Did you want to carry on here?
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, these guys come out and they say that, yep, there's this, it's a proof of concept piece of software that when run on your computer, it appears as a JPEG. And when you run it or try to open it, it launches itself and then copies itself, from what I understand, into other running applications. Isn't that right, John? Is that what you...
Something like that.
I'm pretty sure. I'm looking here, but I'm pretty sure that that's...
It has the potential to infect other Cocoa applications.
That's right. Other Cocoa applications, mm-hmm. right. So, mm-hmm. and then it will replicate itself. So it has the replication aspect of a virus, but it doesn't launch all by itself. You have to be there. You have to, as the user, you have to be involved in opening this thing. And of course they you know, could potentially try and trick you into doing this. But the thing I'd like to go, and so it, at that point, it's a Trojan horse, not a virus, right? And or falls into the category of malware, right?
To me, malware means that it takes some level of user intervention, knowing or not, which
right.
here's the key.
That's the key.
So here, this thing is like, oh, hi, I'm a JPEG. Well, it's really not. It's,
right.
And there, if you're paying close attention, which I will not fault regular users, that this file appears to be a picture because it comes up with a JPEG type icon. But then
right.
what happens after that is kind of weird.
Yeah. So really, the thing I'd like to go back to again is that it's a proof of concept. That, again, these people are out there, you know, waving the virus flag for something that hasn't been found in the wild. For all we know, and I don't know, I want to state this very carefully here because I don't want to be spreading any rumors. For all we know, it could have been someone that actually writes antivirus software that created this thing. Right? I mean,
you can't say that.
No.
Well, you can.
I can say. I don't know whether or not it's true. We don't know who created this thing. But frankly, the only people that know about it seem to be the virus companies. Why isn't it appearing somewhere else? Right? Am I missing something here?
We're going to get you that tinfoil hat.
Every time one of these companies comes out with, oh, OS X virus, you know, it makes me start to think they're just trying to sell software. And I know I sound like the Windows weenies when they say, oh, I think Symantec's out there creating viruses. No, I really don't think Symantec's out there creating viruses. Yes, it would be good for their business in the short term, potentially. But in the long run, as soon as someone found out, I mean, they're a publicly traded company. It would be a horror show for them if they were. So they're not. I have no doubt. But it drives me crazy. You know, when they come out with this stuff, they need to make it clear. Instead of issuing this, you know, horrible press release, this, you know, crying wolf with this damn thing, they need to get out there and say, okay, we found another way that a virus could be written on OS 10, instead of saying, we've got a virus, folks, because that's, you know, it leads you to believe something that's just not necessarily true.
They're just scaring people.
Yeah, and eventually,
so that was one of them.
Eventually, a virus is going to come out, right? And no one's going to believe these folks because they're out there crying wolf and doing it in the wrong way, in my, well, not so humble opinion.
Yes. So we had that one, which, and it also, it's spread via iChat, right?
That's what they say. It could be, yeah.
One of the reports I said, though, is it only spreads via iChat using Bonjour, which isn't too common.
Really?
Yeah, I did a little research on it. Okay. So the problem is also a lot of the information about this thing is mostly cut and paste stuff. It's not research firsthand, so you may get some. But I think it was actually a Macworld article. To our buddies over there, we got a couple of friends over there.
Can we see that? Yeah, you said that they did a nice job writing it up. So
they're talking about that. It was actually a couple of guys that tried to infect their machines and came up with which seems, you know, the thing was a proof of concept. It was very sloppy. It didn't work in all cases. And then they have this other one that came up that was a Bluetooth one. Dave, you may have heard about this. So another kind of worm deal, but it exploits a bug. One is an older bug, and number two is you have to explicitly, the recipient of the bug has to acknowledge a OBEX file push via Bluetooth, which, you know, a lot of times if I'm receiving a file via Bluetooth and it says, would you like to receive this? And there's nobody around who's like actively sending me a file, I'm probably going to say no.
That's right. No.
Unless you get into those commercials that show people, you know, on public transportation with Bluetooth devices and whatever.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
But still, so, and that was the one thing where I got to give our friend Peter, who I hope listens, of course he does.
Of course he does.
Credit where he did a very thorough write-up of this one worm and say, duh, you know, I mean, get over the hype. It's something where you explicitly have to say, which is the same thing. Well, the other one, the weird thing is that when you clicked on the picture, something would come up. It was launching a command from the terminal, which probably most people just said,
yeah,
what's that, huh?
Yeah.
Of course, geeky people like us would be like, oh boy.
Danger, danger, Will Robinson.
And I think even if you look at that, the first one that Dave was talking about, if you look at it in the Finder, it will come up as an application, not a picture, even though it has a picture icon.
Yeah.
It has a file type of application.
That's right.
It's an executable.
That's right. Although I can't, I have to be honest here and say that I don't look at every picture that I get to make sure it's truly a picture before I open it.
Agreed.
So, yeah. You know, there you go.
Someone found that. So
that's it. That's
our viruses. I'd still say, you know, Mac is still relatively safer.
Oh, yeah. Well, clearly. I mean, just you know, look at the evidence. Currently, the Mac is much safer. And is it safer in the long haul? Well, only time will tell. But we do have a little bit of, speaking of time, we have a little bit of time left to talk about our wish list. We had done something over the holidays. Where prior to the various holidays, where we, especially us Americans, just shower each other with gifts, which gets a little crazy. But anyway,
I didn't.
Good. Yeah, we're changing our plan for next year, but I'll rant about that another time, because it's crazy. It ruins the holiday. But anyway, we started talking about our wish list, and on it we talked about things that we would like to have that do exist that we simply don't have, and we started talking about things that don't exist. And so some of you have actually replied to this and talked about it, had some email trails with some of you, and it seems like something that would be a sort of a cool recurring feature. So once every 3, 4, 5 shows, we'll revisit this, and tonight is one of those nights. So I have a couple of things on my wish list, and I'll start with it, and I know, John, you said you've got a couple too. Mm. So the first thing on mine is a Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, some sort of wireless iPod sync. Wouldn't it be great if I could leave my iPod in the car and just park it? And I happen to park fairly close to where my office is. If I could just park it and hit a button and say, go sync. And yeah, I realize it's going to take a lot longer than it would over a USB connection. That's okay. Just tell it to sync. I get out of the car, you know, by the time I get in the next morning, even if it's used up a lot of the battery, I don't care because it's plugged into the car and, you know, it'll charge up when I turn the car on. And it could sync that way. It'd be so much better, especially with podcasts, right?
It'd be good for Bluetooth. You know, I hear there are Bluetooth headsets for iPods. So, gee, you know, if they just did a little extra work.
All we need is a Bluetooth dock. That's it. That's what I want. So that's my...
But actually, now the newer docks have infrared, so...
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not good. I'd have to set up all kinds of wacky mirrors. So, all right. So that's number one on my list. What do you got?
Your list. Well, how about my list? I want to talk about my...
Yeah.
Actually, I'm looking at mine and, you know, I'm going to go on a little tangent here. Just the tiny
one.
Make
this quick. We got to tighten this up because we're
it's going to be tight.
Okay.
So iSync for Windows. So there's not yet iSync for Windows. That was on my first thing on my wish list. But there are people who are trying to run Mac OS X on Windows Intel type hardware. And a couple of things. We'll put in some news things. And I think you may have covered this earlier, Dave. But one thing is that so the chip, from what I recall, is called a TPM, Trusted Platform Module. It's a little chip. That's going to be inside of the newer Macs, and the newer OS X is going to look for that chip. But they actually put a little message in OS X, like a little poem telling people not to do that. And I thought it was interesting. But anyways, iSync for Windows, iLife for Windows. I'm sorry. They were on my list, and they're still on my list, so I'll go back to you.
Okay. I'm Skyping John. Stick to the wish list. Stick to the wish list. Okay.
They're still on my list.
So I've got another one that I've come up with. You know, when you're on an airplane and you're listening to your iPod, and these days with the video iPod, sometimes you've been watching a movie or a television show or whatever on it. With in-ear headphones, you can't hear anything on the plane, which is great, right? Awesome. You can get in your own little world. You don't suffer from sound fatigue and all that. But there's one thing that you miss. And that's all the very, very relevant announcements from the crew. Sometimes they tell you, all right, if you want to go, you know, use the restroom, do it now because we're going to be landing in 40 minutes or whatever. And we're going to have to shut things down, you know, and you're going to have to stay in your seat, or we got something coming up or something, you know, whatever happened. Wouldn't it be great if someone built, and I guess I could do this, but it'd be nice if somebody made it like look all fancy and iPod-ish. A little line-in mixer thing, a tiny little deal that you plug one of them into the headset jack on the plane and the other end into the iPod, and you plug your headphones into it. And anytime an announcement comes up, it just lowers the volume on your iPod, lets the announcement come through, and then when the announcement's done, up it goes again. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be?
I like it because I wear my Edimotic earphones and a lot of times when they come up to me, I can't hear anything they're saying.
That's right.
And I just talk, which is weird too. Talking and not hearing yourself gets kind of weird because you don't know if you're yelling or not.
So that's the second one on my wish list. And and I've got one more, and then we'll run out. And I want Safari to have selective pop-up allowances. You can either tell it not to allow pop-up windows or to allow them, but you can't tell it to say, you know, allow them from FedEx.com because I trust those guys, but not anybody else. You can't do that, and they got to do that. So that's third on my wish list. Send us in your own wish list stuff to MacGeekGab at MacObserver.com, right? They can do that, can't they?
Yeah. They're allowed they want for Easter or something? The Easter Bunny. What do you want the Easter Bunny to bring you?
Wow. We're really going there, huh? You can just send it in.
If you like the bunny.
You can just send it in, and it doesn't need to really be related to any strange religious holiday that's been meshed with capitalism, you know. And it's not that religious holidays are strange, and it's not that capitalism is strange. It's the fact that we've successfully meshed the two. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, less filling.
How's the band?
The band's good. All right, so I did want to say a very, very... heartfelt thank you to Michael, who aka Computer Nap, who dutifully converts this show faster and faster, I've got to say, to AAC format. So Michael, thank you. Thank you very much.
And the listeners.
We've still got a ton of Gmail invites. I don't think we have any Newswine invites left.
I'm actually gonna kick a couple people off because their invites have been there for a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, you're gone. If you get a Newsvine,
you're gone, man.
We got
one or two, but it's
So you can send us. Let's see. Let me go back to the top of the list here.
We want to talk to you.
Okay. So wait. Next week we're going to talk about the initial thoughts of the MacBook Pro and more. We've got some more comments, obviously, that we didn't get to tonight that we'll go through. Mm-hmm. I do want to thank our sponsors again, ThinkDifferentStore.com and AudioEngineUSA.com. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this podcast was downloaded from CashFly, thanks to CashFly's hosting. Cool. If you want to sponsor this podcast, we're sold out for a little while, but there's some holes, I think, coming up sometime in March, if I'm not mistaken. So you can contact the Backbeat Media Podcast Network. Send out your thoughts to us with the iTunes comments. Yes. What?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, vote.
Vote. That's right. Vote at Podcast
ITMS. Yeah. Thank you very much. We've did our campaign.
That's right. Yeah.
This month, and thank you so much for voting. Well. We're up there. We're
audio comments to Mac Geek Gab at MacObserver.com. You can call us 206-666-GEEK. Visit the show notes at MacGeekGab.com, and the Skype voicemail works. Skype to Mac Geek Gab. Thanks, folks. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.